This gangsta shit, and this the motherfucking thanks I get. Hello, I started this gangsta shit, and this the motherfucking thanks I get. Hello, the motherfucking world is a ghetto, full of magazines, full clips, and heavy metal. When the smoke settle, I'm just looking for a big yellow in 6-inch stilettos, Dr. Dre. Hello, percolating, keeping waiting while you sitting there hating. Your bitch is hyperventilating, hoping that we penetrating. You get snating, cause I never been to Satan. For hardcore administrating, gangbang affiliating. MC Renner had you wildin' off a zone and a whole half a gallon. Get to dialing 911 emergency. And you can tell him it's my son, he's hurting me. And he's a felon on parole for robbery. Ain't no cop in the plea, ain't no stopping the G. I'm in a six, you got.
Hello, chimp fans, and welcome to episode 32 of the Shaved Chimpanzee Podcast, Black by Popular Demand. Got Bob French here as usual. I'm Justin Goff, and we have return guest Scott Voorhees in the Heezy today, who is late for the recording. Have you checked the text message I sent you
yet?
I
was actually on time.
Nah, I don't think
you guys were.
Did you check that? And the dog pretty much took all the recording equipment with her on the way to the door.
Yeah. She really did. It was, yeah.
And as if there are no consequences to her actions, she's now sleeping comfortably on the floor. Are you reading that now?
I am.
That's good, yeah. And what is that? What did that read?
It said we generally start at 11.
We generally start 11 a.m. podcasts at 11 a.m.
Which is not at all factual.
It is factual.
No, it isn't.
It is.
It is not factual.
This is what we're going to do for the next 90 minutes. He's going to say it isn't. I'm going to say it is. So we're here. We're Black by Popular Demand. And that's not.
That.
Yeah, that's twice now. Yeah. Well, we started in with NWA to start the show, so that's good.
Once Black.
I don't know. What's
never
the rest
go
of
back.
The, I thought it's once you go black,
yeah,
you never
whatever.
Go back. So,
well,
anyways,
actually, once black, if you're black, you just can't go back.
Yeah,
that is true.
Also, a fact.
Michael Jackson,
unlike the 11 a.m.
Well, yeah, Michael
the
Jackson.
The exception. There's an exception to every rule.
From a black boy to a
white woman.
White woman.
Yeah. And I have on my. Where did you say I got my shirt from?
Old lady.
Old lady. That's an offshoot of
Baby Doll.
What would be, rather than Gap, is that Gorge? Is it an offshoot of Gorge?
Gash.
Gash? Ooh, so yeah.
Yeah.
Salty Gash. That's a good, that would be a good URL. Didn't think of that one.
Salty Gash.
So we've got Scott Voorhees again. What's this, number three for you?
I think so.
Third time's a charm. You bringing it this time?
I'm bringing it.
And we're all in the grotto hanging out.
Are you going to talk about the shirt?
What shirt? My shirt?
The Voorhees
shirt. No,
we
talked about your shirt.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Queensryche was in town last week. He's
really?
A huge fan.
Yeah.
He's even going on a Queensryche cruise in
well,
November.
Know, that's fine. The Richard Simmons cruise would not be fine.
So. Is there one?
Yeah, there used to be.
Jesus.
I don't know anything about
it. I do have one question pursuant to this Queensryche tour.
Okay.
Cruise.
Yeah.
For extra money, are you able to get up to the Lido deck to put lotion on Jeff Tate, singer of Queensryche?
Sure, if I wanted to.
Will you be able to do that?
Yeah, I'm hoping so.
Are you going to be able to rub it on him using your chest?
I doubt that. And I doubt that I will be doing
using your chest as a medium. Was he nice? So you met. So
yeah, he was really nice. Yeah,
is that the first time you'd ever met him?
Yes.
So a little background is Queensryche is a, what are they, metal?
Progressive
metal. You call them
metal.
Smart metal or
yeah,
something?
Progressive metal.
They're progressive metal. And they were in town last weekend?
Yeah.
At the?
Dodge Theater.
Oh, they were at the Dodge. Yeah. I thought they were at the Jobbing.
No.
Okay, so they're at the Dodge.
Dodge is really an excellent music venue.
Intimate. But and they're a big time, they're a big arena band, aren't they?
They were. I don't know if they are anymore. They don't get the, you know, the airplay and the push. That
are they
the
Silent Lucidity?
Yes.
Okay, that's the only song of theirs I know. Okay. And that would have been what, like 91?
No.
Yeah, that was off of Empire.
Was it? Yeah, maybe 91.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the soundtrack of you moving the family out here was Silent Lucidity?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay, so they were in town last week. Is it still all the original lineup for these characters?
No. Chris DeGarmo, the original lead guitarist, left.
He did Lady in Red, right? Oh, that's Chris DeBerg. Never mind.
No. But yeah, he left the band quite a while ago. And
what's he doing? Side projects?
He's swapping out guitarists now.
He's masturbating in Colorado.
The latest guitarist is evidently Jeff Tate's future son-in-law.
Oh, going to marry his daughter?
Yeah.
Do they? I'm a bit of a shredder, as you know. Do they need me?
Yeah.
That must have been that call on my cell phone last week.
I've yet to see you shred. So.
That's it. You did something on Facebook about your favorite guitar players or something like that, and so that popped up, and I was going to go, I'm surprised I wasn't mentioned in here, but at the same time, I know you recognize me as more of a shredder than a guitar player.
Do I need to participate in the Facebook thing? Or is it that my life's over and I just don't need to fucking bother
you with
can.
That? I mean, it's but you have to... You guys, even
at the place of employment,
yes,
there's some discussion about Facebook things.
Well, yes. It's kind of fun.
I mean, it's so far out in my periphery that I can't grasp it.
It's a very good way to stay in touch with friends who don't live around you or your family, because what you can do is you can post pictures and they can see your pictures. So it's not like, oh, here for your inbox is 5 megabytes of pictures I'm sending you. They can actually just go to, they don't even need to go to your profile. You have what's called like a news update.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm one of your friends, then, and I post pictures, there will be a little blurb about me posting these pictures with a direct link to the pictures.
Yeah, that wouldn't work with my family and
probably not
friends, but yeah.
But it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, and then if other people put a picture of you and tag you, because you can tag photos, then that photo, you'll be acknowledged that you've been tagged, and then you can go and see. And so.
Huh.
Was there, I never got any sort of feedback, positive or negative, about the pictures I posted of you and your wife, Irma.
There was feedback.
Was there?
Yeah, the tuna in Tokyo was quite.
Well, because there's,
since
we went
I
to
had
this.
To explain it.
She didn't know what it was?
Well,
in that one picture, you look like you're explaining it, and she's not enjoying the explanation. Yeah. We went to Kitt Peak, which is an observatory down there west of Tucson.
Yeah.
And, you know, you take your own camera, which usually means you don't take pictures of yourself.
Correct.
So most of their pictures are of the Loth and I, while most of my pictures are of he and his Loth, Irma, who again has a different name for this podcast. And there's a picture of, like, I think he wanted to get a picture with her in a specific place, but she's, like, basically pushing him away in the picture. And then the next picture, she's kind of, like, shrugging her shoulders. And in the final picture, they're actually standing in front of something, and he's fixing his glasses. So the first picture, I said, Scott tries to convince his wife to play a game of Tune in Tokyo. You know what Tune in Tokyo is? The next picture is her acquiescing, and then the final picture is post-Tune in Tokyo, so he's straightening his glasses.
That's good. That's good.
So it was funny. But, there's no feedback, so I didn't know. Because a lot of people don't know that there's captions there, so don't bother reading them.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
I try to make it interesting for the viewer. And one-time guest on the show, YB, just did his Northern Arizona tour, trail tour.
Yeah, that's really impressive.
Oh yeah,
I mean he just goes and he'll just goes and does it. But
yeah,
it's a really quite a feat.
Yeah, because he
rode his bicycle from the Utah border to the north rim of the canyon.
Right.
Hiked the canyon, spent the night at the bottom, hiked back out to the south rim, and then rode his bicycle to Flagstaff.
Right.
Holy.
No tent.
They take what they can take on their bicycle, which is very little. I mean, his entire – I put more in the I carry a tremendous amount of shit on the bike, but
Bob puts more in his cargo pants than YB had on his bike.
Oh, yeah. I accidentally have more in my undershorts than he carries.
It's pretty hardcore stuff.
It's
so.
Really hardcore. Their sleeping bag, it takes up no space at all and unfolds. And it looked like – because he was sleeping in some kind of a Tyvek bag kind of thing.
Right.
It actually, to me, it looked like he was sleeping in a giant air sickness bag. That's what his entire...
Wow.
It's crazy. They just set up camp wherever.
They just stop, yeah.
Where there's a couple of branches that come together. so they can tie something to it as right. kind of a makeshift shelter.
And try to find water where they can, and then they filter the water wherever they don't, because they can't pack that much water.
Wow.
Just amazing.
It really is. So he posted his pictures on there, so I had a couple of, I had a comment or two for him. Haven't heard back yet, so we'll see. But yeah, that's pretty impressive. So back to Queensryche, which is are these guys gay Nazis? Is that the nexus of the name?
You have attempted to associate that in the past.
Well, Queensryche. I mean, what is the what's the deal?
I have no idea what the meaning of the name.
Where are they from?
Really, you don't
from Seattle.
You don't know the orient. No, you know, I would think an avid fan like yourself would know the.
I don't know if I ever really cared. So
just didn't relate the name to anything.
No.
I'm kind of intrigued by the source myself.
Sounds a lot like 1939 Germany. People just didn't care about the about the origins yeah. of the movement.
We don't ask questions. We just follow.
Okay, so he was a nice guy. As soon as you told him you weren't Jewish, and then you guys got bought a bottle. And he has his own vineyard, or he's
well,
got...
Well, yeah. See, Laura was going to... or. I don't even know what you called Irma.
Irma. Irma's
gonna,
your wife.
I was going to ask, you know, how you go about getting your name on wine. And, you know, he had the winemaker with him. Her name was Holly something. Holly, I can't remember her last name. But
Holly
she was there.
Spinnaker.
Well, I thought it was ironic because it's like she was basically a nothing in this whole process. She sat there. She signed the wine as well. But right. I don't know if anybody ever once looked at her to ask her if she was breathing or not breathing. So.
Was she hot?
I don't know. I
oh, come on. You're allowed to make it. You're...
No, he
no,
was,
it isn't even
he
that.
Had stars in his eyes
yeah,
from Jeff Tate.
That.
Oh, was... so he didn't even notice.
No, I yeah. remember that she was sitting there, but I couldn't tell you. I don't. She was not unattractive, I would say, but I don't know if she was.
Basking
not,
in so. The glow of Tate's mustache
yes.
wax. He has a mustache, doesn't he? Or
he has
a goatee.
Yeah, goatee. Anymore.
And this was Whole Foods at
Whole Foods in
Baseline?
Chandler.
Oh, in Chandler by 101 there?
Yeah. Nice store. I will tell you, it was probably the best run operation I've ever seen for anything that I've had to deal with. Like
really?
Stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Really organized, huh?
Well, you went on their website. Irma went on the night before and found out that if you showed up at 9 a.m., that you could actually get a ticket, and it would have a number on it. So
right.
we showed up at 9. We got, I think, tickets 11 and 12, so there was, of course, 10 people ahead of us. And they said, you know, come back around noon and you get in line where your number is, and that's the way it'll work. And we're
right.
like, great. So we took off and did other stuff, and then we came back around 11:45, and they took in the first 10 and allowed them to circle through the event, and then they took in the next 11 through whatever. And it was just, we were out of there about 12:30. It was amazing.
And by other stuff, do you mean Dokken was signing packets of tofu over at the
no,
Trader Joe's
no.
down the street?
You know, but it was more intimate than I thought. I thought it was, you know, I've been to somewhere they push you through at 100 miles an hour.
Right, right.
You barely don't even get to see them or talk or do anything. But this one was like, you know, okay, next. And we went up there together and we had our wine and I was, you know, I talked with him and, you know, he was just real nice. I said, can we get a picture? And he said, yeah, no problem. And I was like, you know, this is great. This is, you know. And but everybody outside that had originally met him said that he was very fan focused and very much
right
was into that stuff, so which is impressive because I don't know how many people are anymore.
Yeah, well that
so.
That explains why they still have some gigage to do, doesn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, if they're fan focused,
yeah,
know, they're still playing, you know, still
yeah,
people still give a shit.
Yeah, and I you know they're like one of those people where they have that core base and you know you try to expand, but you know. I don't know. You know, they put out their new CD, and I don't, you know, it's not my favorite. You know, it's good. I mean, I still like their stuff, but it's not my favorite stuff, so, but.
And he has a custom Queensryche wheel cover on his FJ Crawler.
Yes.
Young Scott.
Really? From the spare?
Yeah.
His enabling wife, yeah. Irma, it was a gift to him on his birthday.
Yeah. She sent
really?
A JPEG to this company, and they made a tire cover, customized it for it.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really cool.
This is probably a one-off, right?
Yeah, I had a lot of comments about it. I was standing in line. You could hear people going, do you might see that tire cover of that car?
Oh, the celebrity.
And it was so funny because Laura was like, that's right. Or Irma said, yeah, that's right.
Yes. So. Were you, did you have on your shirt that we got you for your birthday? Because that would have been.
I did not, but that was so funny because she brought it up too. She goes, another reason why now you need to wear the shirt more often.
But thinking, come on, you kind of liked being the guy everybody was talking about.
Yeah, you know, I don't like the spotlight that much. I mean,
right.
I like to be recognized for stuff, but it was kind of nice, you know, because a lot of people were like, they would ask somebody else in line, and then they would point, and they was like, no, that's that guy's, and then they would talk to me, and, you know.
True or not true, when you got up to the front, you sort of pushed Jeff Tate aside, stood up on the table, and said, I'm ready to field questions about my tire cover.
Not true.
Okay.
So.
You're sure?
I'm very sure.
So how is Irma involved in this? She had a number. Was she really just in line to keep you company? Or?
Well, she went to meet him, too. You know, she's...
Oh, she's a fan as well?
It was actually her very first concert was Queensryche, so... Which is ironic. And
prior to you meeting
prior
her?
Prior to me meeting her, so...
Did he sign any part of her body?
No.
Okay, so it wasn't one of those deals.
Yeah, and I don't know if he was signing other stuff or not. He really tried to stay focused on the wine. It was...
Right.
You know, I even my comments where I was, you know, I was like, you know, hey, I've been a huge fan of yours for a long time. He was like, hey, that's great, and I hope now you're a big fan of the wine.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know how much of it I will drink, but I know that she will be drinking.
Is it red or white?
It's red.
So, and your wife likes red, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, you know. So we bought a couple bottles. It was expensive. They were $40 a bottle, so.
That's all right.
Yeah.
You guys are loaded anyways with your tire covers and whatnot.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So in the concert itself?
It was really good. It was really good. They played three suites. They played Rage for Order, and then they played American Soldier, and then they played Empire, and they didn't stop throughout the whole thing, and they just kept it going, and it was really good. It was
Did
good
they have concert. An opener?
Nope, no opener.
Just them?
Just them.
How long?
2.5 hours.
Oh, that's good.
That's Jeez. Good for a fan, I would think.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So.
Were you on the floor or up in the balcony?
Not on the balcony, but, you know, layered up.
Okay.
Not right there
There's
on
not
the floor,
a bad seat so. In the place.
No, it's pretty good. The mezzanine?
Yeah, the only issue we had was we had a couple that was in front of us that were really a little over tall, and... For some reason, they couldn't stand still, and they had to be close to each other and away from each other. So,
did you kneecap them?
Particularly during Silent Lucidity, did they kind of hug and rock back and forth?
No, you know, I don't
even
know.
In the air.
I don't know if they were there at that point. There was another one of those where I don't know why they bought a ticket, because they would be there for a song and then they would disappear for like four songs.
Because they had 11 beers prior to the concert.
Absolutely, and they kept coming back, two beers each. And
yeah, there
I'm
you
like,
go.
Or were they fucking in the bathroom?
I have no idea.
In the handicap bathroom.
So.
The unisex handicap bathroom.
Yeah. So they were the most annoying part.
It's a pretty good place. Yeah, the bathroom situation's a little dicey there, but it's a pretty good place. I've only been there for comedy.
I really like the sound in the place.
Yeah.
For what have you seen there?
Godsmack.
Okay.
Oh.
And that was really
like
well
last
done.
Year.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
Was it just them, or was that the one with Monster Magnet?
No, no, I saw Monster Magnet with the Cult.
Okay.
At the Webb Theater. It used to be the Webb Theater on Monroe. Isn't it Monroe?
Right downtown there?
Yeah, it's right by Arizona Center. It used to be a...
Oh, I know what you mean.
It used
yeah.
to be like a high school auditorium. So it was like pre-tour.
Right.
Very small venue. Really good.
That's good. Space Lord. Monster Magnet.
Yes, I know that song.
Yeah, Three Witches or something like that. They have a couple of good songs, actually. I have one of their albums or one of their CDs. So is that it for Queensryche? You got anything else? Did you tell them you'd see him on the cruise? Or
didn't really get a chance. You know, I was just, you know.
When is the cruise?
In November, like towards the end of November.
Very nice. Yeah.
And that's a cruise in the Mississippi from Springfield, Illinois to St. Louis, Missouri?
Yeah, on a paddle wheel.
No, that would be.
Where's the cruise?
It's... I think it's the Caribbean. I think it's you leave from Fort Lauderdale, and you return. It's quick cruise. It's like 5 days, so it's not too.
To me,
long.
That would be an eternity on a boat. Really, I.
Well, it'll stop, right? There'll be ports.
Yeah, I think, but there's only a couple stops, so there isn't a lot of stops. So it's a lot more boat time than normal.
You ever been on a boat?
I have.
Like that?
Yeah.
How do you feel?
We took the Hawaii cruise. Oh, I'm fine with it.
Really?
I'm good. Yeah.
That. Oh my God, that would.
I would get sick.
Not only sick, but I would. I don't know. I have an issue with, like, open water like that.
Not being able to see land at all?
Oh, fuck. That would drive me insane.
Really?
Oh, my God. I don't think I could do it. Honestly, I don't.
You're not planning a transatlantic voyage?
No. I don't think I could ever do that.
I don't know. Doesn't seem to bother me.
I just didn't. I didn't think too. I thought that would freak me out with only looking, doing a panoramic view and only seeing water.
Absolutely.
That wasn't the worst thing, though. For me, the worst thing was just the waves, basically. Even
just
on a big
rocking?
Cruise ship getting... Yeah, and it's... I guess the best thing to do is not to even... To try not to notice it, which basically means stare at the sky, if you're outside, or don't look out the window if you're in, on the inside, because you would look out the window and, you know, toward you one side. One minute right. you'd see only sky. The next minute you'd see the horizon.
That's because
like,
you're in those swells.
Even just talking about it, I'm getting a little queasy. Cause yeah. It's like, yeah.
You need to take a break.
I don't know. Is the ocean? Have
no.
Have you been before, obviously.
This was the Caribbean Sea, yeah.
Have you been before, Scott?
To where?
On a cruise?
Yes.
Now, do they have swells like they do in the Great Lakes? Do you get into those situations where when you look out, really all you see is water? And then when you look out, then all you see is sky. So you're in these swells. So you're surrounded. And it's just like the boat's going up and down. And
it's not quite that bad. Because it goes below the water. Like the hull of the boat, I think that's the right term. Mm-hmm. At least the boat I was on, it went down into the water like 29 feet. And it had stabilizers at the bottom. So it wasn't quite that bad.
Yeah, cruise ships are really designed to where they won't be affected by much. The worst we got was it was rocky one night, and you could feel a little bit, but most of the time you couldn't even tell really that we were on a moving ship.
And where were you? This was in Hawaii?
Yeah.
From island to island?
Yeah. We took it actually all around all the islands and then back to the main island.
So would it stop at an island every day?
Yeah. And that was a lot of fun. So
I'm not trying to ruin your trip coming up, but this is going to be a little bit different than a cruise around the Hawaiian Islands.
Yeah, we're kind of hoping that it will be.
Because this is going to be more distance between islands, and it's going to be more open water. And no Magnum P.I.
Yeah, Jesus.
And hopefully a lot younger of
I don't think they've cast that movie yet. Oh, it was a bunch of old people in Hawaii?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was older, and we did the, what do they call it, freestyle. It was a freestyle cruise, which meant you weren't assigned tables for eating and all that. And you could show up whenever you wanted to and that sort. But you
show
know,
up at
like,
5 p.m. Everybody, they're clearing tables.
Yeah.
Stacking
dinner's,
chairs.
Dinner's put away. Yeah.
And, you know, so every time we got sat down, we were next to an older couple. And it was just. So.
And was that band related?
No.
That wasn't like a Don Ho cruise or anything?
No.
Everybody gets a ukulele when they get on board?
Nope. Just we wanted to take a cruise, and we thought Hawaii would be the easiest one to do.
So how did you find out about this Queensryche cruise? I'm very intrigued by
it's,
this.
Well, I get updates through their website. So one day they came out with this thing called Rockshipped, and I started reading about it, and I sent it to Laura, and she started looking into it, and she goes, we should do it. And I was like, I don't know, you know. And she goes, let's do it. Because it's not just Queensryche, but like Skid Row, Tesla. And there are like three or four other bands that aren't real big names that are all going to be on the ship. And
really?
And stuff.
Sebastian Bach's going to be on there?
I don't think Bach will be. He's not with Skid Row anymore. So
Scott has named his cat after Sebastian Bach. Correct or incorrect?
His name is Sebastian. Yes.
After the former lead singer of Skid Row.
I'm going to say yes. I think Laura or Irma would say different. But
who named the cat? You or your wife?
I did.
Yeah,
it was my cat. So, but.
So why would she differ? Her story differ from yours?
I don't know. I think she would look more into the a different realm. She was looking more artistically wise and
like the real Sebastian Bach.
Yes.
Johann Sebastian Bach.
I'm like, okay,
I wonder what Sebastian Bach's real name is. He grew up in Toronto, I guess, and then he went to this high school. It was relatively close to where I went to school called Humberside. But I don't think he's from Toronto originally. I think he moved there and lived there for 3 or 4 years. And then I was reading that the Nikki Sixx book, which was fucking terrible, Heroin Diaries. And he met Sebastian Bach while he was going through all that bullshit, and he was just some singer that was trying out for a bunch of bands at the time.
Oh.
So that's before Skid Row and... Did you ever get into that stuff? The kind of the hair bands, glam rock?
I mean, you didn't have a choice in the 80s. If really.
It drove me to new wave. That's how bad I thought it was.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, that's sad.
The beginning of the end for me was Wasp, I think. Because I used to like, I liked Van Halen. I liked, what else did I like back then? Jeez. Iron Maiden. Dio. Liked all that stuff. Then Wasp came on the scene, and I was like, yeah, these guys are pretty good. And then when Poison showed up, I was like,
yeah, that's when it went.
You know what used to really bother me with the fucking ballads. They all had these obligatory, ridiculous right. ballads that just.
Right.
Well, that was Tesla's doing.
That just.
That's for the chicks, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And to showcase their the singer's range, is it not?
Or lack of.
What about Kiss with Beth?
Yeah, that blew too. You know, that Kiss can't. I don't know. I'm gonna offend folks, maybe, but
never a Kiss fan.
No,
never.
No, and I actually
you went in Ohio though, right?
Oh yeah, I saw Kiss twice. You know,
in the 70s.
Yeah, 76, 77.
When they were really on top of it.
Oh yeah, yeah. I paid like $6 for a fucking ticket.
Was that a lot back then?
Yeah, it was to me, man.
Okay, $6 and how many bottle caps?
It was, you know, well, I was making like the minimum wage was like $1.95, so.
Yeah, Jesus.
I had to work 3 hours to buy that
ticket. Is that when you were at the dinner theater?
Yeah, in fact, it was. Yeah.
And then he beat up one of the twins he worked with.
You went and saw him twice, but you weren't a big fan?
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan, but, you know, it is Northeast Ohio.
Nothing else to do.
Fuck, oh, okay. You want to go do something.
You either do that or you break your own fingers with a ball peen hammer.
Yeah.
See, my first LP was Kiss Alive 2. So my mom bought it for me and then decided.
Which is the cover? What's the cover of that one?
It says Kiss Alive 2 and then it has their faces and it has Gene with the blood running down the face and he looks all sweaty. And
animated or a photograph?
It was like a photograph.
Okay.
It wasn't animated. So.
Hmm. I liked them, but only because of the theatrics. I was too young to really
the show
know the
was
music.
Really elaborate.
Yeah, they knew
really
it,
wild
yeah.
the right. show.
And they had a cartoon for a while, right?
Oh yeah, boy, yes they did.
And they did a movie, and it was horrible.
That was terrible.
It was, yeah.
Kiss
it was,
what? Kiss at Kiss the circus or something?
Kiss you, Meets the Phantom.
You know what? It's so campy though that it's okay.
I think they ended up dubbing in the voices.
They did.
For either all or most of the guys in the band. Definitely yeah. Peter Criss.
Yeah. Because
doesn't he sound like a girl with a lisp, Peter Criss?
No, he's got just an unbelievably annoying either Brooklyn or New Jersey accent.
Oh, really?
There's a comedian, Paul F. Tompkins, was telling a joke about Kiss back in their heyday, how they would have, I guess they let their groupies choose makeup or no makeup when they retired with them. And he's like, yeah, I can just picture one of the groupies. And she told Peter Criss no makeup. And he's in the bathroom talking. And he's like, yeah, so anyway, I'm just taking off my makeup. And then he just pops out of the bathroom. He's like, here's me. And he's just this fucking goblin. And she's really, really, really regretting the fact she made that decision. But yeah, he's got a really strong accent. Yeah. Like he grew up by the docks or something like that. Bunch of longshoremen.
Yeah.
I have that movie on VHS if you ever want to watch it.
Do you really?
Kiss Meets the Phantom?
Yes.
Oh, boy. I think Paul Stanley's voice was the same. I think they let him do his. They let his stuff
remain. I think Gene's was the same, but there was something with Peter and Ace, and I think even their stunt doubles looked very, very bad.
Yeah,
I think there was an Oriental that played Peter Criss or something, if I remember right.
Was it just Bruce Lee?
Yeah.
No. But it was just, you know, it was just bad when they did their stunts.
Yeah, it's terrible. Well, it was all about making money. I guess they made enough. But there was a lot of backlash because I think they went too commercial too fast because they kind of disappeared in the early 80s for a while,
yeah.
didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, 83 was when they came out without makeup.
Okay, and that was a gimmick to kind of bring people back, I think.
Yeah, the whole story is that they said they had run the course with the makeup, and you know they didn't see anything new that they could do with it, and so they came out without it.
Animal Eyes, was that
no,
Animal Eyes?
It was Lick It Up.
Lick It Up, and then Animal Eyes came after.
And then Ace wasn't even with them anymore, and neither was Peter at that point.
Right, so. They had Eric Carr and Vinnie Vincent, I think. Yeah, because I had Lick It Up and I had Animal Eyes as well.
Really?
So I started to get back into them, and then they got too glammy again with, I don't know, that fucking multicolored album that came out after Animal Eyes.
Asylum.
Asylum, yeah. I had that. It was terrible.
Became real poppy.
Yeah. Yeah, they were kind of, they just didn't really have an identity as far as musical identity.
Right.
Some of their stuff from the, like the, What's the name of that album? Creatures of the Night?
Yes.
The one with I Love It Loud on
yes.
it? I Love It Loud's a great song.
Yes. I think that's probably one of their best CDs
Me,
overall.
I think that's one of their best songs. No
and it's
doubt.
Really ironic because
it's hard.
Ace Frehley doesn't play hardly at all on that. It's Vinnie Vincent.
Is it? On the album or the song?
On the whole album.
Okay.
So.
Well, I don't know. Spaceman. All right. So we were going to get into stories of being poor. That was going to be our theme for today, but we're already at 30 minutes, so do you want to do the URL first, or do you want to do...
Yeah, hit the URL.
Do you have to...
I'm good.
You're fine?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm good, too. Thanks for asking.
Well, you're like a camel, for God's sakes. You never have to... I've been with you for like 3 hours at a time. You don't even mention the word bathroom, let alone disappear for 5 minutes.
Well, I've like, in 3 hours, I whizzed three times and taken one dump. So
pretty much.
Yeah.
Me too. Well, not the dumps.
URL.
You are not a URL.
Not a URL.
We use this internet for communication.
URL.
You are not a URL.
Not a big
truck.
It's a series of tubes to expand the whole concept of communication.
URL.
You are not a URL.
It's a series of tubes, not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
URL.
Is it, what is it?
It's an interesting song with Ted Stevens, the guy who used to be in charge of the committee that regulates the internet, and he described the internet as a series of tubes. So like a 75-year-old man trying to explain the internet to a room full of other 75-year-old men. Okay, so we're ready for this? URL or new URL? Yeah, whatever the fucking segment's called.
URL.
You are not a, yeah.
Earl or Earl.
WW. Are you ready? Ski Daddy. That's Jim Cramer, one of the Loath's favorites. You ready? Yeah, that's fine. Just don't break the threshold. www.frankenfarter.com.
Frankenfarter?
Yeah.
You said, no, I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no. Voorhees.
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
All right. What would that be? Would that be people shoving wieners up their ass and farting them out?
Frankenfarter?
Yeah. That'd be a good enough idea, I guess. Huh?
Okay.
Or cake farts farting on like a plate full of wieners.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a sight.
Yeah. That's a little too
unfortunately.
Obscure.
But I thought it was funny. All right.
Or I was thinking monster farts.
Monster farts.
Breaking.
Like just giant, giant fucking filthy farts, you know?
Or clips from monster movies where people have piped in farting.
That would be funny.
Like Frankenstein, you know, moving
yeah,
and
every
then
step
just,
it's a
yeah.
fart. Yeah.
in his little blazer.
Yeah.
We're actually, that's going to come up later, I think. www.brownclown.com.
Wow. Jeez. Yeah, I'm thinking that might not be too far of a reach. I probably don't want to see it, but.
Bob says yes.
Yeah.
I'm just disturbed that you think of this stuff to look it up. So.
Brown.
I got to rack my brain.
I'm going to say no.
Okay, it's registered, but there's nothing on it.
That's good.
So it's only a matter of time before Brown Clown
appears.
Rules the roost.
Well, it might be, you know, it might, okay. Yeah.
Who's? Krusty the Clown? Krusty Brand Fried Pork Products. Herschel Krestovsky, that's his name. And he was supposed to go to rabbinical school, but he dropped out to be a clown.
Right, yeah.
Those were some good episodes. www.spunkjunk.com.
Spunk junk.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes.
Scott says yes.
No, I'm going to say no.
Loth says yes. Bob says no. It's a site, but it redirects to keepbitching.com, which is your experience matters. Speak out, be heard. And I guess it's just a forum where all people do is fucking complain.
Oh, yeah, that would be appealing. Fuck.
All right, we're moving.
You're home alone and have to look up to listen to people bitch. Get on the computer.
Well, it also probably provides a forum for people who feel they don't have a voice. www.spunkybrewster.com.
Spunky Brewster.
Maybe a takeoff of Punky Brewster.
You know,
She had to have breast reduction surgery.
Quite the knockers.
Soleil Moonfry.
Yeah.
Which Soleil is French, means sun. Soleil.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Okay. I'll bite. Yeah.
Bob says yes.
I don't even remember the site now.
Spunky Brewster.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no. We'll see.
Because it almost sounds to me as if it could be a porn actress.
Spunky Brewster? Yeah, yeah, definitely could be. Or a porn movie based on the Punky Brewster show.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. Punky.
Yeah.
That father, whatever his name was.
Yeah. Making the noise as he blows one across those giant knockers.
Oh, Punky. Yeah. It's registered, but there's nothing on it.
Oh, that's too bad.
Last one. www.ittybittytittycommittee.com.
Committee. Itty bitty titty, yes. Itty bitty titty committee. No.
Bob says no.
I'll say yes.
Scott says yes. I didn't say registered. Loth says registered, nothing on it. It is a site where you can get a free guest pass for 500,000 pages of porn, Pam and Tommy sex show, 500 hustler channels and bizarro channels, and 250 spy cams. So I don't know. Well, it's going to do it. Any of those good, interesting to any?
Yeah, like Itty Bitty Titty, I bet, is a site. But Itty when you titty? Added committee.
Well, that's kind of from school, you know, when you were making fun of the flat-chested girls.
Yeah, but I bet it's a site.
As you were grabbing their bums.
I could have seen it as a site where people sent in photographs and then you rated them or something like that.
They're Itty Bitty Titties?
Like the Are You Hot or Not?
Like just a flat chest with, like, cork nipples on it.
Yeah, that's really appealing, actually.
Cork nipples coming out of pepperoni slices.
Yeah, that's actually appealing.
Oh,
yeah,
boy, like not that. Really.
Okay, let me go away for a minute. Now. Okay, now I have to go to the bathroom.
Or one areola that covers just two breasts at the same time.
Look like they were dipped into a paint can.
Pretty much, yeah. So that's URL or not a URL. Okay, so stories. Before we get into stories of the poor, I wanted to, I don't know if either of you guys have seen Slumdog Millionaire.
No.
I recommend it highly.
Really?
It's very good. Did you like Slumdog Millionaire? Well, very depressing about the plight of the poor in India, but also very good. And it's essentially a love story of sorts. So definitely recommend it, though. The disc we got was really bad, though. There were like four different times in the disc. Are you okay?
I'm just weeping openly.
About the poor.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Something in the air?
Yeah.
And so anyways, it was good, and I'd recommend seeing it. Very good. I would say I've seen most of the movies that were nominated for Best Picture last year. Saw The Wrestler. Scott was wearing one of those Lucha Libre masks while we watched that, or whatever it's called. Is that what that's called?
Yeah, Lucha Libre.
Where they wear the masks, the Mexicans. And definitely better. I mean, I liked The Wrestler, but it was better than The Wrestler. It's a different movie, but I liked
well,
it.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was good.
So it's The Reader.
The Reader? And that's just 2 hours of someone reading a book aloud?
No, not quite.
That's naked Kate Blanchett.
No.
Really?
Kate Winslet.
And she's
naked a lot.
Doing something with the Jews in that.
Yeah, she was one of the guards that selected women to go to the shower.
Was she a Jew herself, nice. Or is that part of the reveal of the movie?
I don't think she was.
She was like... No.
But what she couldn't read or write. I'm guessing, I'm giving away some of the movie, but she couldn't read or write. So she had women read to her, and then she picks a young boy, and he reads to her, and then she has an affair with him for a while. And
I remind you, many of our listeners are Chinese. I'm quite certain if they do have The Reader available to them, it's probably cut to shreds anyways. Probably opening credits, maybe a nipple, closing credits. Certainly not going to be having anyone reading any books that could be challenging people to think for themselves or anything.
Okay.
Encouraging people to think for themselves.
Good movie.
Good movie?
Yeah.
You liked it?
Yeah.
We also watched Sexy Beast last night.
And?
It's a Ben Kingsley vehicle. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of a quirky role by Ben Kingsley. It's the movie's 8 years old, but it was
really.
I had been hearing about what a great job he did. Do you need a tissue for your eyes?
Can you see that?
Yeah, they're watering like
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, I saw it earlier.
I don't know what's going on.
Do you want to splash some water on them or something?
Nah, it just does that, man.
You want a hug?
That would make the other one water.
Yeah.
We saw Up.
Yeah, I saw all your Twitter updates. Yeah. Are you on Twitter?
No.
Okay.
Well, I am, but not.
Oh, so he indignantly snaps back, well, yeah.
I'm not on it. I got on it for another reason, so.
To follow Jeff Tate.
Queensryche's on Twitter, but I don't ever go into it for
to
that,
follow so. Sharon Tate.
No.
She's not done much lately.
Yeah. She hasn't had an update in about 40 years.
So I think Roman Polanski killed her.
Yeah, probably. Okay, so who are you on there for then? Who are you following? You want us to ask you?
No, I don't. So.
Really?
Yeah, it's not something I'm going to explain here.
All right, so we're not explaining it. Why did I even ask about Twitter?
Because you said you saw it on my update.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So Up was good.
So. Yeah, you know what? It was really good. It was one of the most emotionally charged Pixar movies I'd ever seen.
How did you feel about that WALL-E? Did you see that?
I liked WALL-E too, though. I really liked it, though. But a lot of, you know, a couple of people that we've talked to didn't like it. Hmm. So they thought the silence for most of the beginning of the movie was a little.
For how long? 10, 15 minutes? That long or no?
I would say at least that.
Really?
Because he's isolated. I mean, if we're talking WALL-E, he's isolated. I mean, he has no way to talk too. So. Yeah, he's a robot, and they leave him there to clean up the Earth. You know, everybody's left Earth, and he's basically a robot left to clean it up.
Is it robot or robot?
He's a robot.
So. What's a robot?
I have no idea.
You've never heard that term?
No.
Apparently, the nerds use the term robot.
Oh, okay.
When meaning robot.
He's a robot, then.
Robot. All right. Well, so you're recommending Up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bob, write that one down for yourself.
Yeah, that's... That's a Disney gig, right?
Pixar, right? Is Pixar an offshoot of Disney? Disney Pixar?
Yeah, I thought they broke off and then they realigned or something.
Pixar.
But they're like, you know, they've never had a flop yet.
Did they make Ants or did they make A Bug's Life?
I don't know. I don't know which one of those.
Because they always make one and then DreamWorks makes one that's almost the same but not as good. But I don't watch any of those movies.
Yeah, I don't watch those either.
But I have been hearing a lot of good things about Up, about living life to the fullest.
Yes. That's really the ultimate point of it is taking on adventure.
I saw Bucket List, so I can probably pass on Up.
It's the same thing, right?
You probably should have watched Up instead of Bucket List. Did you really watch Bucket List?
I did.
Was it sad?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Really? I heard it was not very good.
The whole message was good, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have your own bucket list?
Yeah, I'm living it, man.
Are you going to call Morgan Freeman if you're ever well, who's the one that was dying? Morgan Freeman or Jack Nicholas?
Both.
Nicholson.
Jack Nicholas, yeah. Both, right?
They were both dying?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't want to see it. I had no desire.
It's how they connected.
Okay. Yeah, they were together in the beds, right?
Right. Completely opposite people who
black and white.
Well, yeah, not that.
Was Ebony and Ivory on the soundtrack of that?
No.
Damn it. How about that the takeoff of that was on Saturday Night Live with Stevie Wonder and Frank Sinatra?
No.
You remember that?
Yes, I do.
That was great.
That was great. Right. Joe Piscopo, I believe.
And Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
You are black. And I am white. You're as blind as a bat, and I have sight.
That's exactly that was really well done. That was one of those classic moments that when you saw it, you knew that was going to be one of those.
That was so great. They used to make fun of Stevie Wonder being blind all the time. They had remember those old Canon commercials?
Well, they still do. They're making fun of the governor.
Oh, New York State.
Yeah, and he's walking around bumping into the camera and stuff, and it's just funny shit.
Making fun of the blind, for God's sakes. Oh, boy. Okay, so see Slumdog if you haven't seen it. Good film. See Up if you haven't seen it. See Bucket List if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, well.
See Bucket List if you haven't seen it. I don't think I'm seeing it, though. And I'm not sure I'm seeing Up either, but I keep hearing a buzz about it, so.
You can wait for it on
I will. We're not going to the theater. Yes. I got two VIP passes to the theater. I'm not sure I'm even going to use them.
Then I will take those off your
hands. I'm not sure I'm willing to give them away, though. I may frame them for posterity.
And how did you come across these?
Well, a customer gave them to me for a job well done.
Oh, nice.
I would have preferred cash or...
A handy.
Or gifts or a gift card for something I would use. But still, it was a nice gesture, nonetheless. And a handwritten thank you note, too.
Well, that's nice.
Well, it wasn't handwritten. It had the pictures cut out of the newspaper, like a ransom note. So Bob says he's got some stories about being poor. Scott, I hope, brought some with him as well.
We all would.
We should. We definitely should. Because we see a lot of poor people now, or people that have
been negatively affected by the downturn in the economy.
Exactly. And they're readjusting and reprioritizing. But, you know, yet we still see a lot of people out there that are avaricial, if that's a word, just spending too much money on things that don't matter. So what do you got for us, Bob?
Well, you have to tighten your belt, I guess. You do reprioritize,
yeah,
whether you want to or not. You're forced to.
Right.
One of the closures that I went through, and this was early 80s. You know, you heard about things during the Depression.
You're a little hot.
You hear about things during the Depression.
Right.
In the soup lines and all that stuff.
Right.
Well, there was an instance where, and I don't remember what the unemployment rate was nationally. It was like almost 11%.
In your area?
At home. And I think it's actually worse than that in some areas now.
Right.
There. But it was late fall or early winter.
Mm-hmm.
One of the plant closures. So you go and you sign up for unemployment, right? You go down to the office and you sign up. Well, at the time, it's cold and snowy and nasty and miserable, and you go down there first thing in the morning and to go sign up.
Right.
There were lines of people all through the parking lot.
Right.
You know, and the Red Cross is down there giving you cocoa, and it was just one of those things that the picture's still vivid in my mind, and it was so fucking horribly depressing that you're thinking, Jesus Christ, and I got to live through this shit.
Right.
It was awful, and you're outside for hours in the cold and in the...
Just waiting.
And it was snowy, sleety, rainy kind of stuff. Ugh. And the skies are completely covered with gray flannel.
Right.
No sun could get through that shit, and it just, the whole mood, it was just horrible.
What happens when you get inside?
Well, you go inside, and of course, it's a government agency in
right.
an office, so it's like you're set up like a bank with a counter and individuals. You've done some paperwork prior,
mm-hmm.
and you go up, and of course, they're just completely bothered by your presence whenever you go. And
is this a county thing or a state thing?
It was a state thing.
Okay. And any velvet ropes in this place,
yeah,
like in a
no
bank?
No velvet ropes at all. Just, cockhead, off-duty, making overtime police hanging out there.
Like security?
Yeah. And they don't give it. You know, it was just an awful environment. You know, no one would, because they were all overworked, the folks that worked there, and everybody there is out of a job, obviously.
Right.
So some folks are trying to sign up for new benefits, which was my case, and then other folks are trying to get something straightened out because they made some horrible error. So it's just the whole setting is just as awful as it can be. That was a precursor to 18 months. I couldn't get a job anywhere for
really?
18 months.
And you had a new baby.
Yeah. Talk about sucking the life out of you, man. And you feel like, you know, I had no education. I had the skills that I had from the previous factory job were
right.
Outside of that environment, outside of that one factory, the skills are completely useless. You
right.
know? So there's no.
The factory that closed, was that the rubber one?
Yeah. Okay. There were actually two rubber ones, ultimately, which with the closure of the second one is what prompted me. I was either going to go to school or go to the military at that point.
Jesus. So you considered the military. It got
absolutely,
that bad.
Man. It was that bad.
Wow.
Yeah. And I can't, you know, I can't describe how that made me feel, knowing that I had some value, but to, you know, to have it be taken from you. You know, your job's taken from you. You don't have any choice because the place is closing. And, you know, they're not necessarily... they're suffering through the whole thing too, so they're not, you know, very supportive of the employees whenever they're all losing their jobs as well. You know,
true.
They're all scrambling, and most of the folks were much older than I was at the time. At least I was a young guy that had a long road ahead. But it was just an awful, awful period, and the loathe could, you know, it just sucks it out of you. You just have no self-worth after. And I would make it my job for that 18 months. 5 days a week, I would get up early, shower, dress as if I was going to work,
right,
and hit the road, you know, and go to work, go to try to find a job. And it was so bad with the unemployment benefits, you had to have folks sign your card, right?
Yes.
To show that you asked them for a job.
To show that you were looking
for
a job. Mm-hmm. There were actively. Actual places, and there were areas of industrial areas. Solon, Ohio is one, where Stouffer's is.
Mm-hmm.
Twinsburg, there were a lot of factory type stuff. Of course, Chrysler's there, and then there's a Ford plant where my old man worked for 30 some years.
Right.
Those places, you couldn't even get in the parking. They had signs out that they're not giving or accepting applications. They don't want you to come look. There were so many job seekers that they just would not. So they would actually have signs printed and then have security people stationed to keep you away.
Right.
You know, and frequently the security folks, they'd sign your card to say that you were there, you know, for you.
Well, but that's good. Well.
Yeah, that was nice. But they had in the, it's of course, it's a heavily industrialized area. And there were steel workers at that time out of work. Auto workers, obviously. And they were getting jobs like at McDonald's and those kind of things to kind of bridge the gap.
Right.
So for those of us without, I mean, I couldn't get a job at McDonald's, and I would have happily taken a job at a fast food restaurant, but there were none to be had. You'd go in there, and the, you know, they were 40-somethings, frequently educated, that are, you know, asking if you'd like fries with that.
Jesus.
So there was none to be had because there were so many people out of work.
There were so many people out of work, and folks were taking jobs that were way beneath them, highly educated folks taking labor jobs, and
Jesus,
yeah, it was awful. It was awful.
But did you guys own a house at this time? Was this an apartment situation?
No, actually, we lived in a trailer.
Jesus,
we did for that period of time.
A trailer in Northeast Ohio.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and yeah. How depressing is that?
Yeah, that's. You look it up in the dictionary, and there might be a picture.
And
actually.
Loth was in school,
right?
And we had the little one.
Jesus,
it was really bad. And then we heard of a place that we're going to put some people on, going to hire a few people, and it was a large another rubber factory,
right?
So I thought, what the hell? I'll go down and apply. Well, I get there. And it was such a rarity at that point that anyone would be hiring for any kind of a job that would be of, you know, they're hiring like a fair number of people. I don't know if they were hiring 100 people or what.
Right.
But the jobs were good. They were union jobs that paid well.
Mm-hmm.
So I go down there. It's like 15 miles from home, which was a nice distance, not bad. And all the Cleveland news stations have people down there. People were driving from everywhere, even surrounding states, driving to this place. What they did is loop you through this little town. They had to traffic clusterfuck because people were coming from everywhere for these jobs, and they'd loop you through and give you an application and tell you you had to mail it back to just funnel you through the process.
Jesus.
And I actually, out of that, got a job.
That's good. What was that doing?
That was at... That was Teledyne Monarch Rubber in Hartville, Ohio.
Doing what?
It was an adhesion technician. Another job, and because I had had a lab job, a quality control job at the previous rubber factory.
Right.
That's what got me this job ultimately. But it was rubber to metal bonding stuff, and we had to maintain the adhesives, different adhesives for different bonding processes, and it was a great job. I mean, that would have been one of those things that you just do for the rest of your life. But I can still tell you, I got that. My first day was December 1983. My last day was December 1986.
So and 3 years?
Yeah, and they closed it down. It was done.
Jesus.
And they made parts for the auto industry, motor mounts and some shock tower mounts, anything that required rubber to metal bonding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, you know, when they closed that down, it was... So that's when I started school, actually, January 87.
And by that time, your wife was practicing?
Yeah, she graduated 84.
Okay.
Practicing what?
She's a nurse.
She's a nurse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she graduated 84, so we had at least, and in that three-year period, we had purchased a house and had that. So, and it was okay because we based everything, having gone through that prior situation, we based everything exclusively on her income. So we would save, we purchased the land for cash and had the house built. And so the payment would be something she could comfortably afford were I to be out of work again. So when they cut me loose before Christmas, 86, of course, then you had no holiday benefits or anything. You were just done at the
motherfucker.
Time. Yeah. You had, so it was 19th. They shut us down and had nothing for that over the holiday period. And, it sucked. So you go back to the unemployment line again. And, but then I went to, the university and got in quickly, started a full-time gig then January 87.
Mm-hmm.
And got
immediately
out.
Then.
Yeah, immediately. And then went and pushed through and got out December 90. 4 years exactly.
That's pretty good.
And I never looked back as far as the... there were a lot of folks that, man, they just moved, you know. I don't know. They just disappeared.
Hmm.
But that was a whole period in the late 70s, early 80s, from high school till at that point. So 8 year period that we just really, really struggled. Yeah.
And that would have been, you mentioned people from other states. So you're talking about what, like Michigan, West Virginia,
yes.
Western Pennsylvania?
Michigan, West Virginia, Western Pennsylvania primarily.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Then they opened the Honda plant in Marysville, Ohio. And during that period of time, and we drove down there, which was probably 2.5 hours or so
right.
from home. And so we went down there, and I remember I was had an upper respiratory thing going on.
Right.
But, you know, you just suffered through. We got there, and they wouldn't let me apply because they were only taking applications from people who lived within a small radius of the place because there were so many, you know.
Right.
So I wasn't able to apply. And went home, and that upper respiratory infection developed into a raging pneumonia. That's when I quit smoking then.
Right. Which we talked about on the last episode.
Yeah, without insurance, and it was a...
What year would that have been?
Well, it was prior to the Teledyne, 82 maybe.
Jesus.
And that would be, it wasn't for the motorcycle plant. It was when they started making... the Accords there, I believe, when they started, that was the automotive plant.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was 82, may have been 81, 82.
Wow. Marysville, Ohio. What's that, down around Cincinnati or something?
No, it's Columbus. It's a bit north of and a bit west of Columbus. It's a pretty rural area.
Jesus.
They popped these plants out of there.
You got to limit who applies based on where they live.
Yeah.
That's crazy. What about you? You got any stories? Probably not going to be that. I'd never struggled that much either.
Yeah, but. I was going to say, when I read the question, it was really odd because I was talking to Loth about it. It's like, I don't know if I ever faced a lot of that stuff because, you know, my mom kept me with it being a single parent. You know, we just kind of lived within our means there. I mean, but
right.
I don't ever remember not having to want,
right?
You know, and then when I came out of high school, fortunate for me is I landed in warehouse jobs, so we're paying a lot of money.
Right.
So all of a sudden I was in money, and, you know, I mean,
What years were?
I graduated out of high school in 85.
Okay.
You know, so I went into a, you know, I started working. Actually, I started in toy store, and I was working, I guess, minimum wage, and I was living with three other guys. So, I mean, we had like a two-bedroom apartment. But yeah, one-bedroom apartment with three guys, and he had a waterbed in the living room. I remember that because that was so massive waterbed in the living room, and it was just that was probably the worst conditions I'd had because I remember a lot of ramen, you know. But it wasn't anything that I was out of a job. I've always been able to find a job. So
yeah, man.
You know, because I've worked at McDonald's, I worked at the toy store, and then I got into management of that. And then when I left that, I went into warehousing and worked my way up in that. And, you know, it was like, you know, but that's why I never stepped out and went to college right away, because the money was already there. I was already making money. And, you know, my mom didn't press me to go to college. She, you know, I'm sure she wanted me to, but she didn't come out and say, you need to. She let me follow my own path and figure out what I wanted to do.
That,
so
never had that push myself from home.
So, you know, but. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, and I've lived in a house with four other guys and, you know, stuff, but I don't remember ever struggling and wondering where the next meal was going to come from or anything like that.
Really?
So, I mean, you know,
Was it that bad for you?
Meal-wise?
Yeah.
Not
quite?
The loath had to get very creative. I can tell you within that 18-month period, we've looked back since,
right,
and our gross income for a year was $4,000.
Wow.
And we never got any kind of assistance ever.
Wow.
We made it go.
Unlike Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah. You know, and I don't begrudge anybody for,
right,
you know, it's available. Right. It's out there for that. Whenever the bottom drops out, man, you know, there has to be some kind of a safety net. You can't
absolutely
have people starving or be, you know, having to live in their cars and shit. But we just managed to get through, you know.
The background on that is Craig T. Nelson was on Glenn Beck, I guess, a week or so ago, and they were talking about bailouts or something. Bailouts or something. And apparently Craig T. Nelson was like, you know, this bailout stuff is ridiculous. I've declared bankruptcy. I've gone broke. I was on food stamps and welfare. Nobody helped me. Except for the food stamps
and
welfare. But yeah, but just totally oblivious to the fact that that was help.
Right.
But I cut you off. You were saying that you never had to worry about your next meal or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it was just really ironic when I sat and thought about it last night and really tried to think about stuff. It's like, I grew up with my mom and my aunt, and I had a cousin at the time, and, you know, I don't remember ever worrying about stuff.
Right.
I'm sure they did, because
right,
I'm sure we had our times when we were, but I was so young that it really didn't factor in.
And they didn't,
you know,
they didn't push it onto you, or they didn't tell you about it.
But I don't ever remember being that kid that had to have the Nike shoes or had to have
right
the upscale clothes or anything like that. So it wasn't like we were spoiled in the sense of we needed to have this or we needed to have that,
right,
you know, so we didn't go through any of that. And then just, you know, getting out from under that, I got in the jobs that paid good money, and I worked through that. I did go through unemployment, and it was really ironic because I remember the signing off on stuff,
right,
you know, but I didn't last very long, so I think I went on two interviews, and then I got a job after that. So, but I know that nowadays it's all so electronic that you don't really even have to leave your house.
Yeah,
you don't?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And you just sign this, you electronically sign this thing that says you're actively job hunting, and unemployment comes off of that.
You take your word for it?
Yeah,
it's almost anymore. Yeah, because it was so funny when he was talking about that. But
what do they do? They give you about $200 a week in this state.
I don't have any idea.
I thought that
wasn't much.
Talking about.
I got to tell you, it was just because I didn't make much, obviously, and then they give you a percentage of that, but it caps quickly.
Right. I think the cap here is like $200 a week.
Yeah, I mean, it caps quickly, and even that, if you're making like minimum wage, you're going to get, you know, a half that or so.
Right. It's,
yeah,
and I never struggled that much either, but I never wanted to ask my parent. I always hated asking them for help. They would always give me help if I needed it.
Oh yeah, my folks would too.
But I just didn't want to have to ask because I had already, you know, they helped me with school a little bit and stuff like that for a couple semesters, which for me being out of state and stuff like that was, you know, $8,000 a semester. But no, it was more graduating from college, and then, but we always pretty much lived within our means fairly well. But there were a couple times going, not being able to get gas because we'd gone over the limit on the credit card, like the $500 limit. And then, and when you go over the limit, they also charge you for going over the limit. That's a little of Scott's people. That's the those of his ilk of the industry that he's in now. So I remember that was a pain a couple of times where it was like, oh yeah, by the way, there's no space left on the credit card. And the thing I always hated about not having any money was the public laundromats. Always fucking hated that.
Oh yeah.
It was just because I'm obviously, I've got an issue with germs that really is baseless. But I would go and do laundry. It would take like a whole morning to do it. And when I was getting ready to fold my clothes, there would be these little tables. Well, I had it all planned out. I would go in the bathroom. I'd get, you know, those industrial brown paper towels.
Yeah.
I would take a big wad of that and wet it. And then I would take a big wad of it dry. And I would go out there to this table and I'd kind of stake the table as my own. And I'd start wiping it down with the water. And then I'd dry it with the dry one. And then I would put my clothes on it and actually start folding them. But if somebody messed with it, you know, like, because it was just a table that was out where anyone could use it. But it would just, it pales in comparison to what you were talking about, because that was struggling for me. Struggling for me was worrying about, oh, I got to fucking spend a whole morning doing laundry.
Oh,
it's going to
yeah.
be sweet when I have a place with my own machines, because you just put them in there and you forget about them, and then you get them whenever you remember. And there's one time there, and this is in Boulder, there must have been this lady who took in other people's laundry, charged for it, but then did it at a laundromat because, and I think we had gotten there first. So we had like four dryers going at the same time. But every time we would go to a dryer to try, because you know stuff dries unevenly.
Right.
Like a sock, a regular athletic sock, it's gonna dry fairly quickly because there's not much material there. But if you've got a heavy cotton sock, it's going to take a while. So you would go, and I don't know if there's any truth to it, but it's like if there's more clothing in there, the heat's going to be distributed amidst all the clothing. So if you want something to dry quicker that hasn't dried yet, you got to take the other shit out.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any truth to that.
Probably.
I don't know much about the physics of the dryer, the clothes dryer. But so I would go in and take a look at the stuff and pull out what was dry or almost dry and let the other shit that was going to take forever. Because that's another thing. You got to walk around with $15 in quarters, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
So what's that? Armor did? Oh, okay. Scott's wife just drove past, apparently. So anyways, you'd have to have that. But this time we were at this laundromat in Boulder we didn't usually use. And every time I would go up to the dryer to pull something out, this lady would be right behind me waiting to take the dryer. And I'd be like, listen, lady, I'll fucking let you know when I'm done. It's not done yet. And she would back off, but it was, you know, it was a little annoying, but that was probably the thing that was the worst.
Yeah, that sounds really tough.
It's not that tough.
Yeah, I appreciated you letting him go first.
Another thing is when I got out of college, I was in New Orleans, which there's not much that isn't service-oriented there. And in college, I had been a valet, so I looked for jobs in the paper, because this was 1998. So I applied for all these jobs. And at that time, the rental car industry was booming for some reason. You had all the different outfits. And this is back when Enterprise didn't do like leisure rentals. They were basically only insurance replacements. So when you had a wreck or something like that, that was their book of business. They didn't have locations at airports and
really?
Stuff like that. That was their target market, and they were very upfront about that through the interviews. But I remember interviewing with this company. This is 1998, And they were associated with the John Elway dealerships, which I think is AutoNation or something like that. But or they Power. Were, yeah, something like that. They were a rental car business trying to horn in on Enterprises, which is only rental car replacements or only insurance replacements. So they didn't have anything at the airports either. So this was like, and they basically didn't have too many underlings. It was like you were a branch manager or you were an assistant manager. You pretty much did everything, and you did it in a fucking shirt and tie, including vacuuming cars and washing them. And I interviewed for this job, and it was like, it starts at $18,000 a year. And at that point, I was like, I think I might have to take this, because that's more money than I've made in a year thus far in my life. Well, maybe not, but close anyways, because I did take a semester off of college, so, or a couple semesters. But I ended up doing that. I ended up doing it. I ended up actually working in parking for a management company, and I think I started off at 22 large a year, and that was more money than I had seen at that point. But I fucking hated what I was doing, because it's, you know how we were talking about the other day, when it comes to people in their cars, they're oblivious and just have such a sense of entitlement.
Oh yeah.
Especially when you get in parking, they think they can fucking park anywhere. So we would have these facilities that would be intermingled between like daily parkers who were going to work and then tourists. And nobody wants to park far away for some reason. I guess because they're lazy. Well, the first couple levels, those were all reserved spaces for people who paid by the month.
Uh-huh.
Well, you would have people that would just pull in because they felt like it. And then the person who paid extra for that space would come and tell you about it. So I would have to proceed to go up and boot cars. And then when those cars, when the owners or people who were responsible for those cars came back and found boots on their cars, they would come down and talk to me.
It's clearly signed, though. I mean,
yes, yeah. Reserved right on the stopper.
Right.
So and they were reserved and numbered.
How much cash did it take to get my boot off my car?
$50.
Yeah.
And
cash,
they would bitch and complain. Yeah. And I'd be like, you parked in a reserved space. And they were like, well, I didn't know it was reserved. And I'm like, did you know it wasn't your reserved space? Yes, I did. Well, then why did you park there?
Yeah. You just got to not get emotional with that. You can't, because you'd fucking tear your own hair out.
And that's where it got to the point where I was like, I'm so tired of having these fucking conversations with people.
Right.
I got to get out of this. And the money was not terrible, but it was even worse during Mardi Gras, because we stayed open till like 4 o'clock in the morning.
And everybody's drunk and pissing in the parking lot. Yeah.
During the 4 days, 5 days that compose Mardi Gras, which is really the Friday, the Saturday, the Sunday, the Monday, and then Fat Tuesday.
I want a daiquiri.
We would be open about 20 hours a day, and we had to man the facility. So there were times I got home at 4 in the morning, and I was right back there at 7:30 the next day. Ugh. And I get called by this older guy we had that was working for us. He was kind of a jack of all trades. It's an older black gentleman, and he calls me Rosie. He calls me, and he's like, yeah, there were some people when I came in this morning, they were fucking in the car. And what happened is some way they must have either come in before I actually left and just not left, or I don't know what they did. But when I would leave at night, I would like basically disengage the gate. Because usually, even if I closed the gate, you could drive up to it and it would go up.
Right.
Well, we didn't want that happening, because potentially if that went up, somebody could be standing on the other side of that, run underneath it, and then for the next 3 hours, they could go hog wild in there, breaking into cars and shit like that.
Right.
Because we also had Hertz cars that rented space there that were always there. So I get in the morning, and these, you know, and you've got to tell people that they can't sleep in the garage and they can't fuck in the garage. I found somebody passed out in the stairway, and I'm like, you got to get the fuck out of here, and you got to do it now. Go. I don't care what you do. And by the end of Mardi Gras, I was at another facility, and there are these people in their car, and they're throwing garbage all over the ground. And because I'm walking around getting ready to leave, cleaning up garbage, and by that time I had had it. I walked up to them, and I was so mad, I made them pick their own garbage up and put it in their car. I was like, I'm tired of this. Pick the fucking garbage up and get out. And they did. So,
nice. That's
good. But I was just done with it.
But when they left, for a moment, even though you were pissed,
right,
you still felt better, didn't you?
Oh, I did feel better.
Right.
No, I didn't have any problem with that. Because they just don't be an animal. Just because you paid your $8, don't be an animal. And that's another thing is like, people that, because businesses are pretty much closed, because part of that is the weekend, and then everything's closed on Fat Tuesday because you can't get anywhere.
Right.
All the streets are blocked off. Well, you had people using their key cards to park in the garage for free when we were really charging whatever it was, $20 per car. I saw people literally try to run over coworkers to try to get out of paying $20. Seriously. Because they would, I remember seeing a woman drive over my boss. If he hadn't have moved out of the way, she would have gone right over him. Because she was like, oh yeah, I work in the building, but I forgot my card. And me, I didn't really care because I knew I wasn't there for a long period of time. So I was like, fine. I don't want to argue because I'm going to end up freaking out on you and it's not going to be good. So she's like, oh, I just left my card upstairs. And he's like, well, you needed a card to get in, didn't you? And she's like, yeah, but I just, and then he stood in front of the car and she just fucking floored it. And if he didn't jump out of the way, he would have been hamburger, basically. It was just terrible.
Jesus Christ.
So for me, struggling wasn't necessarily struggling in the purest sense of the word.
Well, the struggles you describe occur anytime you go out in public, really.
For me?
For me as well.
Yeah,
I mean, those,
true.
Those.
For him.
Ridiculous fucking people that you have to, you just can't believe that they've managed to stay alive.
Pretty much.
But we're nowadays it's all about entitlement. It comes so obvious with not only people in public, but people you work with and listening to them look at their jobs and listening to them. And, you know, it doesn't matter who they are. It's like, I'm entitled to this and I'm entitled to that. And I'm like,
you know, that's one thing that over the years with that early struggle that I go to fucking work every day and I work while I'm at work every
day.
That Teledyne job for three, I didn't miss a day, wasn't late for that entire exactly 3 years. I went to work sick. I didn't give a shit. I was not going to call off, man.
Right.
I was so appreciative to have that job. So I think that may have, but now, man, folks seem to, can't be bothered with work a lot, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, society's just changing, you know, and we're, you know, raising these inside kids and they're going to be running the show soon. And how's that going to work out?
I don't know.
Nobody really communicates with people anymore. I mean, everything's texting or instant messaging and stuff like that. I mean, we have an instant messenger at work now, and it's good for some things because you don't have to compose an email if all you want is a quick question. You just send that off, and you can see when somebody's available.
Right.
So they potentially, just people running through here willy-nilly for some reason.
I'm thinking it's a bladder control issue.
Well, no, I think it's nephew related. As I may have mentioned that during the last podcast,
you did.
Our nephew is coming in about an hour.
Today is the arrival,
and
huh?
He'll be here for 7 days.
Very nice.
Oh, where will you be?
He's 12 years old, and so that means I'm going to stab myself 84 times.
Is 12 is one of those kind of a transitional thing. For a boy.
Well, and I told Deloth, I'm like, because she's like, well, we got to be careful what he watches. And I was saying, no, I think it's about time for some tits for the youngster.
Oh, yeah, he would love that. it depends. You'll have to gauge. You know, he might come in and look like he's 9 or he might look like he's 17.
No, he was at the wedding. He looks, he looks like a 12-year-old kid.
Yeah.
He's the kid that we were waiting in the kitchen for me to go out.
Yes.
And I looked at him because he was going to walk, I think he walked Deloth's mom to the altar, and I looked at him and I said, yeah, this is not going to be good because I knew it was just going to be trouble for me. So he's pretty much the last person I saw as an unmarried man.
So he might be like playing with some toys of some kind.
I don't know. That's the thing. And I don't think he knows that we no longer have cable. So that's going to be a real fucking eye opener.
Oh, that's nice. That was good. Good move on your behalf.
Yeah, that was smart. Yeah.
Let's see.
You know what, though? We've been fine without cable. It's great.
But he's 12. Do you have video games?
No, we don't have a video game.
Really?
Scott, could you accommodate a 12-year-old?
I've already been asked.
Scott acts like a 12-year-old. He's got every video game you could think of.
We talked about the video games. I mean, damn.
I've already been approached about next Monday
night.
We
may need a box of comics.
Kids, 12-year-old kids are just a lot of fun.
What about your Wolverine figures? No. We need some figures.
You got a Target right up the street.
You should have brought some figures with you. Scott has an entire glass case of figures.
Yeah, well, those things are generally not for...
He plays with them. I'll go over there and I'll go into the bathroom and I'll just edge the shower curtain and I'll see figures like propped up on the ledge of the bathtub.
Yeah.
And then there will be like a big submarine.
Where they dry.
Move a couple of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he'll go in there and
he'll
just
go in there
screaming.
To take a dump and he'll be furious.
Well, one time I had the unfortunate occurrence to walk by the bathroom while he was in there and I heard
he was blowing up stool.
I hope he was fighting with figurines. I hope
so too.
So we're gonna close it up, but Bob, you missed out on this the last time because you were on call, so you had to run to the other room.
Right at the end, huh?
At the end. There's a new segment called the Dichotomy 5, which is 5 rapid-fire questions for which there are only 2 possible answers. There's no follow-up questions allowed by the people being asked
the
questions.
So the answer to the question is the entertainment.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Well, the answer to the question I'm giving you.
Right.
You just choose one of the possible, but there's no clarification, nothing.
Okay.
Just answer.
Uh-huh.
So I'll start with Bob.
All right.
So I'll ask you, and then I ask Scott the same question, and then I ask Scott a new question, and then I ask you the same. So it'll alternate.
Let's go.
So for every other question, you get a little bit longer to answer.
It's
rapid fire. This is Dichotomy 5.
Now, are you giving us the answers, right?
Are you going to make a theme song
it's
for
just,
this?
Basically, it's a yes or no. It's a yes or no question.
All right, yeah.
It'll be a transition.
But it's not
theme?
Yes or no. It's one of 2 answers. So, Bob, Frankenberry or Booberry?
Frankenberry.
Frankenberry.
Okay. Scott, Betty White or B. Arthur?
Betty White.
Betty White, definitely.
Betty for the jugs?
For anything.
Really?
Yeah, Betty White.
And
she loves
alive.
Dogs, man. I mean, I like the old bag's personality. I'm expanding, though, but you said don't do that.
She's still
no,
alive.
No, no, that's fine. That's fine. Just don't ask me, well, what do you mean?
I understand.
Okay,
I mean,
cool.
She loves dogs. I like the personality, and it wasn't
really?
Long ago she was still fuckable.
On what show?
Betty
she
White?
On Benson?
Betty White?
Yeah.
She wasn't on Benson.
She wasn't on Benson.
Soap? Was it Soap she
no,
was on?
No, she wasn't on Soap either. She was on Golden Girls.
Well, I know, but before Golden Girls, she was on something.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah,
oh,
Mary
that's
Tyler
what it
Moore.
Is. Okay,
yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I always thought she was.
You're still hot. Move back just a little bit.
Okay.
It might be the Betty White.
Yeah, she got me a little excited.
Well, but B. Arthur, come
Bea
on.
Arthur had a cock.
Well, she's dead, too.
Yes, but she was Maude, for Christ's sakes. That was an important show.
Yeah, but I don't care about Maude as much as I cared about Adrienne Barbeau and those giant knockers of hers.
All right,
I'll go
Bob.
With that.
Would you rather be blind or deaf?
Deaf.
Scott. Come on,
blind.
Rapid fire.
Blind.
Scott's blind. Scott, one cock or two?
One.
Bob, one cock or two?
Absolutely only need one.
Bob, rap or country?
Country.
Rap.
We're done. See, that's it. That's all it is.
One cock or two.
There's no good way out of that. It's great. That's why I love it. Okay, so that's going to do it for, what did we say? It was 32?
I don't have any
And the
idea.
Date is what, June 7th?
Yes, it is.
For anything you want to plug?
Have we had an anniversary yet? Is it?
It's right around now. I think it'll be the next episode.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What number's that?
That'll be 33, I guess.
Or 34.
They are.
I think it was... depends on what you mean by anniversary, because we recorded the one episode in June of last year, but we didn't actually posted until July. We needed a few under our belt. Yeah.
Maybe you could have multiple anniversaries. The first recording, the first podcast.
Yeah, I'm not into all that shit.
Yeah, with the Loath, I already have my fill of anniversaries. We've got the first date. We've got the first
Well, as time passes, you stop even celebrating the wedding anniversary.
You stop talking as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know that it all works itself out.
She's good. She's salt of the earth. Any comic books you want us to plug? Any figurines?
Hey, comic books. I went to a comic book store in Glendale.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's right on the...
Right by House Murphy.
House Murphy. And right. I found American Splendor issues in there.
Oh, the Harvey Pekar.
Yeah.
Is he still making it or it's an old one?
Apparently it's still going. You know, it was cheap, a couple bucks.
Did you buy it?
Yeah, I bought a couple of them. Harvey Pekar. Yeah.
Do you know anything about American Splendor?
No, I don't.
I don't know that there's any explosions or any cases.
No, there's none of that.
There's cases involved.
It's, you know, in the one, it's like a 3-page bit. He's got different artists, different illustrators,
right,
throughout the same book. But there's one. The whole this young kid comes over to his house to meet him. That's the whole thing.
Hmm. So you're endorsing.
Yeah, to me, it's entertaining. I liked it. Yeah.
Anything else?
Nah.
Battle for the Cowl's over if you want to talk comic books.
I don't know what that is. I think that's a different podcast and a different host. Yes.
So you're on vacation next week?
Did you say that the comic book is 3 pages long?
No. The comic book, this is just one story within the comic book.
So there's multiple stories within one.
Correct.
It's a collection.
Each story was illustrated by someone else.
Okay. So he just writes the text,
yeah.
Okay.
And apparently... someone illustrates to the text, which R. Crumb did for a short period when he started.
But then he started drawing as well?
No, whenever R. Crumb used to work at American Greetings in Cleveland.
Okay.
Met Pekar through their strangeness.
Right.
And apparently when Pekar started doing the comic books but had no illustration ability, R. Crumb actually penned...
Some
of the first issues of American Splendor.
And I think I remember seeing that in that movie, American Splendor. That's an idea I had as I came up with a concept for a comic for the characters and all that. And then I asked my friend to actually do the drawing because I have no artistic ability whatsoever when it comes to illustrating. Just never got off the ground. It's very sad. So the gang from Barstools is still stuck in neutral. That was to be the name of the comic.
The gang from Barstools?
No, just Barstools.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be it for 32. I think that's it, huh?
Yeah, let's go home.
It's time to go home?
Yeah.
Time to go to the airport and get this prepubescent being that's going to be occupying my guest room.
Throw a few Playboys around. I mean, he might just be happy hanging out, just whipping Skippy for the...
Yeah, well, that'd be a good time to rent the reader, by the way.
We're gonna have to put the trapeze away.
Yeah.
The pole.
The gimp has been returned to the state hospital for the week. And I'm also thinking the sex stockade thing, that's got to go back as well. Can you return those?
Yeah, I don't think so. I seriously doubt it.
No?
Well, I think if they pass the blacklight test, it's okay.
Okay.
Well, I would seriously think if you could return them, then you would have never bought one.
It's just a rental basis is what you're saying.
That's worse.
Well, that's going to do it for 32. Thanks again to Scott Voorhees and Bob French. For those two, this is Justin Goff. Be nice to dogs.
Chimpanzee. Oh, you're playing it to me. I forgot my cue. Is this good?
A little hot. A little hot.
Hot night. Hot night.
Do I need to be like jamming this into my mouth?
Don't they have your size?
This is extra large. This one's extra large.
And you wear it in the pool?
The sleeves are regulation length. I told you, it's the hypertrophy.
The what? The hyper what?
You have arms like an orangutan. When you're standing up, can you grab your calves?
Orangutan. Why is it we can't hear you properly?
I've been talking, but you guys talk about orangutans in your arms and large female shirts or whatever they are.
Baby doll.
I don't even have any t-shirts where the sleeves come clear up. Like, I'm going to get some wife beaters.
Tank top tan? Tank top tan.
I don't know. That's your guys' problem.
It's not our guys' as anything. Yes, old lady. That's where I get them.
Like Simon Cowell.
I'm going to burn the house down.
Do I sound okay?
Chimpanzee.